The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November issue of the AARP Bulletin. That'll probably take up most of our half hour. And our programming today is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, hip, or back issues. You can call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. Now, the first thing I've got for you is an interview, a Q&A with filmmaker Ben Patton, who is grandson of one of America's iconic and controversial military heroes, General George Patton. And he helps today's vets deal with PTSD. The title of the article is "Film Could Be a Conduit for Veterans to Express Something Without Having to Use Words." The cue is, your grandfather, George Patton, Jr., is one of the most famous generals in American history. Your father was a major general who served with distinction in Korea and Vietnam. That's a unique way to grow up. Then Ben Patton says, my father used to say, we're not better than anyone or worse than anyone. We're just different. We definitely were made to feel different insofar as we had a responsibility to act a certain way, behave appropriately, and have a service-oriented mindset. You didn't join the military. Was there pressure for you to do so? I think I felt pressure from history. I had a very strong but somewhat challenging relationship with my father. I grew up thinking that that's what he most wanted, for me to go into the military. I think deep down what he wanted me to do was to find my own path and to lead an authentic life. What inspired you to become a documentary filmmaker and teacher? I got interested in film. I wanted to find a way beyond just going to veterans' events and representing my family to apply those talents and skills to the service of veterans and military families. That led me to seek an opportunity to teach film to veterans, to use film as a therapeutic approach for veterans transitioning home from a combat theater, often with post-traumatic stress. And that led to the work of helping those veterans capture their experiences on film? Yes. Initially, I was focused on combat veterans who just weren't able to communicate with their family in the same way as when they had left. There were things they experienced that they simply couldn't articulate in normal conversation. We began to see that the medium of film could be a wonderful conduit for a veteran to express something without even having to use words. Your grandfather won lots of glory, but was criticized for slapping two soldiers suffering from what was then called combat fatigue. It's ironic you work with veterans with PTSD. I'm not an apologist for my grandfather. I would say that generation of the military really just didn't understand this phenomenon. I don't excuse him because the actions that he was responsible for, particularly in the summer of 1943 in Sicily, were inexcusable. He had a warrior aura about him where sometimes going into military hospitals had its consequences, setting back his career. But I'm inspired by the fact that both he and my dad were very well known for caring for their soldiers. What I'm doing is shifting the way we understand what care means and broadening it. Fortunately, we have learned a great deal more about these mental health challenges over subsequent generations. How many films has the Patton Veterans Project produced in the past few years? I'd say between 300 and 400 films at this point. We've worked with close to 1,200 veterans. My mission is to reduce the distance between a veteran and everyone he or she interacts with, be that a battle buddy, boss, neighbor, spouse, son or daughter, or parent. If we can see veterans be closer and more communicative with those around them, then I think everyone will be better off. Why did you think that filmmaking would resonate with service members today? Younger veterans are part of the YouTube generation who understand the medium of video better than past generations. We are all carrying around a video camera in our pocket that, with a little bit of software, can be used to edit video. Because we are so familiar with this technology, we can slip into a creative process almost instantaneously. It's a very easy and quick way for someone to create a narrative. And that's what makes your work different from other PTSD projects? There are wonderful writing programs and theater programs, but there is something about being able to create narrative in this way. Many of the clinicians we work with have said this medium allows the veteran to switch sides. They can observe themselves in a video, but also be a participant in it. We can really begin to help them get support they need and actually enable them to take control over their lives. And this interview was by Andrew Carroll. And now in the Your Life section of the AARP Bulletin, here's somebody else who has spent a life doing things for others. This is Seven Keys to Generous Giving. Marlo Thomas shares lessons from a lifetime of charity work. This is written by Hugh Delahanty, who is a writer in California. Actress Marlo Thomas, 80, grew up with charity at the center of her life. Her father, entertainer Danny Thomas, founded St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, to provide state-of-the-art care for children with life-threatening diseases at no cost to their families. After her father's death in 1991, Thomas became National Outreach Director for St. Jude and helped turn it into one of the world's leading pediatric cancer research centers. Over the years, she's developed a unique perspective on the psychology of giving and what it takes to cultivate a generous heart. You don't have to be a zillionaire to change the world. The biggest misconception people have about charity, Thomas says, is that giving a little bit doesn't help. My father used to say that he'd rather have a dollar from every American than $1 million from a few. She says, every dollar really does help. St. Jude costs $2.8 million a day to run, and the majority of that comes from small gifts. Listen to what moves you. That's the most important first step. When Marlo's father died, she offered to fill in for him at the hospital. In time, she got hooked emotionally. One day I walked into the medicine room and saw a little boy jump up on a stool and shout, "Mommy, I don't have cancer anymore," she says. How do you not get moved by that? I knew then that I wanted to be in a room where every child stands up and says, "Mommy, I don't have cancer anymore." Give, even in uncertain times. It's too early to tell what impact the new tax laws are going to have on giving, Thomas says. People are being very careful about where they put their dollars, especially people on fixed income, she says. When things are volatile, people hang on to what they have to be sure that they will be safe. Observe the needs around you. I think taking care of people is all about noticing, says Thomas. Most people walk down the street and there's a homeless guy lying there or a woman with some cans in a bag, but they don't see it. During Thanksgiving week, Thomas will appear on the Today Show with children from St. Jude to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the hospital's Thanks and Giving program. That's where awareness comes in, she says. Real stories interest people. It puts a face on giving. Find a role model. For Thomas, it was Mother Teresa. I read a book in which a novice asks her, "How can you pick up those dirty old sick people on the street and wash them?" Mother Teresa said, "Every one of them is Jesus in a different disguise." When I first read that line, I thought, wow, imagine if we all went through life looking at people as if they were Mohammed or Abraham or Jesus. How would we behave then? Cultivate gratitude. When their grandchildren were younger, Marlo and her husband, Phil Donahue, gave each of them $40 a year and told them to give it away. They'd take time figuring out what really mattered to them, she recalls. It showed that money isn't just something you spend on yourself. It grew their gratitude, That's what you're trying to do with children, grow their spirit. Never underestimate your impact. One of Thomas's most moving stories is about Ira Jackson, a retiree on Social Security who managed to donate a little to St. Jude every month. Then he got a terminal illness. In a letter to the hospital during his final days, he wrote, "I'm prepared to die, but I'm concerned that the little children won't have a chance to grow into healthy adults. My last wish is for you to use this letter to find someone to take my place." The hospital shared his letter and got 900 new donors who gave hundreds of thousands of dollars. "Ira knew that when he died, he would leave a hole behind," Thomas says. "He donated about $80 total. It wasn't millions, but it was a lot of money to him. He gave us as much as he could and was worried when he left that there wouldn't be any more." I love that story. And now, from the Your Money section, A Scam Alert by Sid Kirschheimer. Fight fraud with freebies. Here are some no-cost or cheap ways to stay ahead of growing scam threats. Consumers worldwide spent almost $7 billion last year on identity theft protection services, and that figure is expected to reach $24 billion by 2025. That's a lot of fearful folks paying up to $360 a year to protect their personal data and privacy, some prompted by well-crafted, nerve-wracking TV commercials, others by harsh realities. Following last year's Equifax breach, one study found that nearly 20% of Americans froze their credit files at a cost of $1.4 billion. Until then, only 2 to 3% had credit freezes. Why pay? There are several free, easy, and effective offerings that replicate the core services of some 60 different companies, minus the $5 to $30 monthly price tag. Identity theft services offer some benefits but have limitations, concludes a 2017 study by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, GAO. Paid-for credit monitoring helps detect new fraudulent accounts in your name, but can't prevent fraud of existing accounts, which happens after data breaches or when credit cards are stolen. Identity monitoring tracks misuse of personal data on illicit websites and public records, but its effectiveness in mitigating identity theft is unclear, says the GAO study. Offerings like identity restoration and insurance don't always deliver anticipated outcomes. Whether you choose free or paid security services, this five-step approach will provide you with the best protection. First, credit and identity monitoring. Paid monitoring tracks your file at one or more credit reporting bureaus, but you can also do this for free. At annualcreditreport.com, review your Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion files each year, ideally with a different bureau every 4 months. Websites such as creditsesame.com and creditkarma.com, which also provides free ID monitoring, track credit bureau data. To protect existing accounts, most banks and credit card providers offer free alerts of suspicious activity. Experian offers a no-cost dark web scan, but expect an onslaught of pitches for financial products, including more extensive scans for a fee. Credit freezes. Thanks to a law passed by Congress earlier this year, credit freezes are now free to everyone, not just those who are over 65 or are past victims of identity theft. A credit freeze restricts access to your credit report unless you expressly allow it to be shared. Without it, identity thieves can't open new accounts in your name. You need to contact each of the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, 800-349-9960, Experian, 888-397-3742, and TransUnion, 888-909-8872. To enact, lift, or temporarily thaw freezes, when applying for credit, seeking a new job, or switching utility providers or insurance companies. Password managers. A password manager will store all your hard-to-remember codes in one place, simplifying your life. You can pay up to $50 per year for premium services, or use freebies like LastPass, Dashlane, KeePass, that's K-E-E Pass, and RoboForm. They will generate and remember in an encrypted vault all those complex and site-specific passwords you should have. All you need is one master password to log in to the manager, and it fills your login credentials at each website with less hackable password combinations of letters, numbers, and symbols. Call blocking apps. There are apps that will identify and block calls from robocallers, telemarketers, and suspected scammers. Enhanced versions are about $3 a month, but Truecaller, Hiya, that's H-I-Y-A, and Call Control offer free apps for smartphones. AT&T and T-Mobile customers can get free basic protection, while NomoRobo is available at no charge for VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol, landlines. Tax transcripts. To keep tabs on possible tax refund fraud, request IRS transcripts each year after you get a refund or the IRS cashes your check for underpaid taxes. To view and print your transcripts online, go to irs.gov and use the Get Transcript tool. You can see the past three returns or ask for them by phone at 800-908-9946. This free service summarizes the agency's records of your tax returns and post-filing adjustments. Unrecognized filings may indicate your personal info was used for tax-related ID theft. Sid Kirschheimer is the author of Scam-Proof Your Life, published by AARP Books/Sterling. And now from the Your Health section. We're still in the November AARP bulletin. Here is the one workout you must do. By exercising as little as 10 minutes every other day, you could reverse the effects of aging on a cellular level. And this is by Roy Furchgott. Fitness marketers often use extreme language, breakthrough, miraculous, to describe the latest hot workout or gear. But scientists and doctors are now using superlatives to discuss what many consider to be one of the most important new fitness approaches in decades, high-intensity interval training, or HIIT, an approach to exercise that people can do in relatively little time, but with oversized benefits. If you ever did wind sprints in high school, then you know what HIIT is. Brief bursts of very intense exercise, followed by periods of slower, less demanding work. Studies are showing that HIIT is an effective way for older people to build muscle, regulate insulin, cut fat, and increase heart function. And for people just starting HIIT, it may take as little as 1 minute of hard work 3 times a week to see marked improvements. Perhaps most exciting of all, HIIT seems to be able to turn back the clock on a cellular level, improving the function of mitochondria, the battery cells of the body. And the older you are, the greater its impact, according to studies. Example A, Robert Marchand, who turns 107 this month. When he was 101, Marchand set a world record for how far a centenarian cyclist could ride in an hour. But today Marchand appears to be getting even stronger than he was when he set the record. So much so, in fact, that in the past few years his peak pedal power has increased by an incredible 40%. When measured last year, Marchand had the fitness of the average 50-year-old, thanks to HIIT. Here are just a few of the other ways HIIT can improve your life. Boost your youth hormones. A study of 22 sedentary men in their 60s found that regular exercise plus HIIT sprints on a bike increased their testosterone by 17% in 12 weeks. Recharge your cells. Researchers at the Mayo Clinic found that people ages 65 to 80 who incorporated HIIT into their walking or biking programs made more proteins for their energy-producing mitochondria, effectively slowing down aging at a cellular level. Lose your belly. Another study of sedentary women compared 20 minutes of HIIT with 40 minutes of steady-state exercise. The HIIT subjects were the only ones who lost fat, primarily belly fat. Protect your heart. In a study of nearly 5,000 people with heart disease, researchers found that HIIT did more to protect the subjects from future heart problems than traditional moderate workouts. Keep active longer. A Japanese study put 696 people of middle age or older on a walking program that incorporated HIIT training. 70% were still doing the workout 22 months later. If you're still thinking, I'm too old for wind sprints, here's the good news. You can get all the benefits of HIIT just by tweaking whatever exercise you do today. And if you're not exercising, you can unlock the benefits of HIIT by walking for as little as 10 minutes. Here are three programs you can add to your current workout, whether you are a swimmer, a biker, a runner, or just looking to take a brisk walk. For the beginner, the 10-minute workout. Warm up your preferred form of aerobic exercise. Warm up with your preferred form of aerobic exercise for 3 minutes at a pace at which you can speak in full sentences. Then, pick up the pace for 20 seconds, working hard enough that you're too winded to speak. Slow it down to your original pace for 1 to 2 minutes. Add another 20-second effort. Rest 2 minutes, and then add a last 20-second effort. Cool down for 2 minutes at your original pace. So that's just 10 minutes elapsed with 3 20-second efforts between less active pace. Then the intermediate is the 4x4. Warm up for 3 minutes at an easy pace, then pick it up to as fast as you can go without feeling a burning sensation in your muscles, and hold it for 4 minutes. Take it back to the easy warm-up pace for 3 minutes, and repeat for 4 rounds of activity. Finally, take an easy 2-minute cool down. The total time of the workout should be about 30 minutes. So that's 4 4-minute efforts with rests in between. Then the advanced is called the modified Wingate. The Wingate protocol is often used in fitness and performance testing, but it's easy to emulate in an exercise regimen. Warm up for 3 minutes. Make an all-out, lung-busting, muscle-burning effort for 30 seconds. Then recover with a light effort for 4.5 minutes. Repeat until you've done 5 sprints. Cool down for 2 minutes. This also should total about 30 minutes. And now we've got a handful of some brief news items. In the news, unretired and back at Boeing, trend is growing to rehire skilled workers. To help meet production goals on its 737 jetliners, Boeing is luring retired employees back to work at its plant outside Seattle. Paul Bergman, a Boeing spokesman, said the company plans to hire recently retired mechanics to help with near-term airplane production requirements at the plant in Renton, Washington. In August, the company reached an agreement with the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers to bring back retirees for up to 6 months. Connie Kelleher, a spokeswoman for the union, said retirees will receive a $500 bonus for each month they work at the plant. Jacqueline James, director of the Sloan Research Network on Aging and Work, said the move by Boeing is an example of companies beginning to realize the value of keeping older workers with specialized skills on the job past traditional retirement age. Employers are starting to get it that older adults can be beneficial to the bottom line, James said. Peter Capelli, a management professor at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, said it is smart for Boeing to focus on retirees when it needs to ramp up temporarily to meet demand. Unretired workers may not want to return to their old schedules, he said, but a temporary job with flexibility might be appealing. Trying to find workers, especially on a temporary basis, who understand the operations and can make contributions immediately, is otherwise just about impossible, Capelli said. Next, nearly half of mobile calls may be scams in 2019. A rapidly growing epidemic of fraudulent cell phone calls will result in almost half of all mobile calls next year being initiated by scammers, according to research by First Orion. That worries federal regulators, who say fake calls defraud consumers out of hundreds of millions of dollars every year. First Orion says it based its projection on the rate at which it was seeing those calls increase after analyzing 50 billion calls over the past 18 months. The Federal Communications Commission said the study aligns with complaints from consumers. Scam calls are a real threat, especially for vulnerable populations like senior citizens, FCC spokesman Will Wickquist said via email. Adam Panagia, AT&T's Director of Global Fraud Management, said, "It is clear that complaints are going up." But AT&T is not seeing the type of dramatic increase First Orion forecasts. Verizon did not respond to requests for comment. Calls with telemarketing sales messages or scams are illegal unless authorized by the person being called. And then, DNA test? Maybe not. Many recognize the benefits but are still wary. A majority of older Americans say they are curious about what they'd learn about their heritage from genetic testing, but bad news about their health prospects would worry them. Only about 1 in 10 Americans between 50 and 64 have had their DNA tested by commercial companies, according to the National Poll on Healthy Aging, conducted by the University of Michigan and co-sponsored by AARP. While most of the 1,000 survey respondents said they were interested in getting tested, two-thirds said learning that, say, they are at risk of cancer might cause anxiety. And then last, new concerns for daily aspirin. 5-year study suggests it may do more harm than good. A baby aspirin a day keeps the doctor away? Maybe not. A clinical trial suggests low-dose aspirin not only doesn't reduce the risk of heart disease, it may also increase cancer deaths. 3 papers in the New England Journal of Medicine recently documented a study led by Australia's Monash University that followed 19,000 people for 5 years. Half took 100 milligrams of low dose a day. The rest took a placebo. More aspirin takers died of cancer, 3.1% died of cancer than placebo takers, 2.3%. The overall death rate for aspirin was 5.9%. Compared with 5.2% for those who took placebos. Now that's all the time we've got for today's Modern Maturity. I hope you'll listen next time and that you've enjoyed this. I'm Florence Nash, reading for Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long till next time. If you have any comments, call 919-832-5138.